I want to invite you to turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. To Hebrews, chapter 13. We're going to read a couple of verses. We're going to focus on one verse that just kind of came out. Wouldn't leave me alone. I just kept reading it. And I didn't know exactly what God wanted me to say and how to pursue this, but as we come today, we're going to look at something that I think we forget. But that everything here is passing. That there's nothing that you have here materially that is of any value once breath leaves this body. That everything that's of any eternal importance is what only you can bring with you. And the bad news is you can't bring nothing with you. You can only send it ahead. And there's way too many of us wasting our lives using all of our effort on the now when the now is going to end and we should be looking to the then. Amen? A church under heavy persecution, the early church, the Hebrews, that's why it's called Hebrews. It's written to Jewish believers, probably right in the Jerusalem area, who were under heavy persecution because they had walked away from Judaism and embraced Christianity. They had forgotten the old ways of Judaism to embrace the new of Christ. And they were being hammered to the point they were being run out of their homes, run out of their community, to the point they were losing everything because of Jesus. And they were discouraged to the point that many of them thought, you know, it'd be better if we just go back to Judaism. Were they saved? We don't know. They had had a type of faith in Jesus, but that faith was in danger of being thrown away so that they could experience comfort again and have peace. If you look here with me, the writer's writing, and he talks about Jesus Christ in verse 8 is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If that's one truth you need to get a hold of, and you need to let that bury deep within your heart, that Jesus always has been, Jesus is now, and he always will be. Amen. He never changes. And it says to these believers, he says, do not be carried away. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, that's teachings. For it is good that the heart be established by grace. For with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. He says, we have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Now this is not making much sense to us because this would only make sense to a Jew who had actually been there doing this. Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. And this is the verse we're going to actually preach out of. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Father, we thank you that in light of the fact that here we have nothing that is continuing, nothing that's lasting, nothing that will endure, but that whether we've had much or little, no matter how bad it's been or how good it's been, none of it compared to the glory that awaits us. To the promise of a place called heaven, the city of God. The place that we look forward to. The place where we'll live and spend all eternity. Lord, thank you today that we can gather here. That we can give you an offering of praise and worship. Lord, it's a struggle sometimes to be a Christian. And Lord, as we go through a valley right now, a season of transition, as we try to hang on to the old while taking grasp of the new, as we try to sometimes walk the balance, help us to understand something, that Jesus is the only thing that never changes, that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that what is of him is what matters most. So Lord, today, would you bless this time as we sit under your word, and will you use it for your glory and for our benefit? In Jesus, we pray. You know, we look at this, and this probably doesn't make sense when you say, what is he talking about? We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. Those who serve the tabernacle, the Old Testament Jews who were rejecting Jesus, who were still practicing something that God had done away with, who God had removed, which was Judaism, the old temple sacrifice, who were still killing animals when they didn't have to do that anymore because the ultimate sacrifice, the Lamb of God, the final sacrifice, Jesus had been slain on the cross of Calvary. And now it was futile to live out those old ways. And so there, in the midst of this, he says, for the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest. They didn't need a high priest anymore because now Jesus was their high priest and everybody under that high priest is a priest. Can I get an amen? I don't need anybody to pray for me. I don't need anybody to meet with God for me. We all can do that through Christ. And so that was futile. It was vain. It was useless. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Everyone knows Jesus suffered outside the gate. He wouldn't suffer within the holy city of Jerusalem. He didn't die on the Temple Mount, the most holy place to a Jew. He didn't die in the temple where all the sacrifices was made, where that blood had been shed for all those many centuries. Jesus died on a hill as a criminal, in reproach, in shame, outside the city that we know as Holy City Jerusalem. And he died in reproach. He was called a criminal. He was carried out just like those animals who would shed their blood. They'd bring them outside the gate. That's what he's talking about here. And guys, you need to understand something. In the first century, Jews who converted to Christianity had a particular difficult time. Jews who accepted Jesus, the Messiah, were rejected by their families. They were persecuted for their faith in Jesus by their neighbors. This persecution often tore families apart. Many were cast out of their communities, run out of their neighborhoods. They lost their homes. They lost their business. They lost their way of life. They had nothing left on this earth except for what Jesus promised or what they had behind that they could only keep if they gave up Jesus. You can't imagine that in America, in this cushy, easy Christian life that we get to live. But guys, I want you to think about this. The daily pressure of this torturous atmosphere wore many of these Jewish believers down and threatened their newfound faith in Jesus to the point that because of Christ, they were no longer allowed into the temple. And they were now separated from their old religion of Judaism, which they would have been okay with probably, but listen, they were kicked out of their society. They were kicked out of their neighborhoods, their homes, their businesses. I want you to think about this. Because of this rejection and persecution, many of them were forfeiting their newfound faith in Jesus, and they were fading back into Judaism in the hopes of finding some relief. This book, the book of Hebrews, is a warning to these Jewish believers who are willing to not turn back and not return to Judaism. But it's also an encouragement to continue in Jesus and not give up on the faith. I don't know if you figured this out yet, but as many of you, have you let your faith be known to the point that you have said, I have decided to follow Jesus, the cross before me, the world behind me. The only reason everybody who's sitting here saying, I don't understand how something like that could happen to you, the reason we're not persecuted, the reason we don't know what it's like to be under the reproach of Christ is because most of us do not live enough for Christ or not sold out enough for Christ that we irritate anybody. And guys, you might say, well, one Christian wouldn't irritate anybody. Well, you have never met a mosquito. One mosquito will keep you up all night. One mosquito will put an end to your nap. One mosquito will not make you rest till you. One sold out Christian is an irritation to this world. When they look at us and they don't see a religious church person, a Baptist, a neighbor who goes to church on Sunday, but they see someone who follows Jesus, who loves Jesus, who sacrificially lives his life for Jesus, I promise you, you'll understand what it must have been like for them. See, the Bible says, according to the Apostle Paul, that everyone who desires to live godly in Christ Jesus will, shall experience persecution. And friends, listen, what keeps us going is not the easy life here. It's not what all God's given you here. The reason we serve God, the reason we give our life as servants to the King is He has a kingdom. Can I get an amen? And you see, most people follow God and they follow Jesus as long as everything here is looking good. But take their big checks, take their nice retirement plan, remove their cushy, easy, comfortable, no hassle, no trouble life, and I promise you a lot of them will forget about this Jesus. See, anybody will follow Jesus that's promising you a new car and always be healthy. And if you believe in Him enough, you'll be wealthy. But the Jesus of the Bible has only promised us one thing. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And I will always be with you, even to the end of the age. And that you will be with me forever in heaven. So this writer is telling them, we have an altar from which those who are serving the tabernacle have no right to eat. Don't let them bothering you. You know what? We have something here that the whole world has no right to. Because it only can come by humbling yourself, admitting you're a sinner, and putting your whole heart and trust into Jesus Christ. And when you enter in through the cross of Calvary, you have a right to a table that no one can come to but through Him. And friends, that table is an eternal provision. It's a table where you're never hungry spiritually. You'll never be thirsty. You'll never, ever feel alone. Although in this world, you may feel like a pilgrim. You may feel like a sojourner. You may feel like, I don't belong here. You ever felt that way, Brother Witt? You may get to the point, if you get so full of Jesus, you'll realize this is not my home. That this is foreign territory. Guys, listen to this. He says right here that the bodies of these animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin or burned outside the camp. You know why they took them outside the camp? They were through with them. They were of no use. Once they shed their blood, they took that carcass out and they carried it out and they burned it to get rid of it. That's what they did our Jesus. Never forget that. Men took our Savior to a hill called Calvary outside the camp, a place where criminals routinely, every day, were crucified for their atrocities against mankind. But a sinless, perfect, innocent lamb should have never been there. But that's where He went. And He took our reproach. He took our sins. He took our shame, and He went. And guys, listen to what He says in verse 12. Therefore, Jesus also, that He might sanctify us. Guys, at the end of this life, there's nothing more important than to know you've been sanctified. That means set apart from the world. And claimed and brought into right standing with God. And listen to what He says. That He might sanctify the people with His own blood He suffered outside the gate. So what this writer's telling them is, you say you believed in Jesus, you say you've been saved, you expect to have eternal life, you're believing that Christ is the Messiah who came to save you and died for your sins. Well, guess what? It gets hard sometimes. It was hard for Jesus. Therefore, look at this. Therefore, let us go forth to Him. Where's He at? You know, it's hard for us sometimes to believe. But we have to go to Jesus. He says, go forth to Him outside the camp, bearing His reproach. He said, you got to go outside the camp. You got to go outside Jerusalem. You got to go outside everything that you've known as Judaism and your religion. And you got to go out to where He is and bear His reproach. But listen to what He says. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. I want you to think about this. Of all the things that they lost their ability and their privilege to go in the temple. Couldn't do it anymore. They lost all of their rights and respect as Jews. They were under the reproach because they accepted Jesus. They lost their businesses. They lost their homes. As a matter of fact, Peter starts out his letter like this. This is who Peter's writing to. He's writing to these pilgrims, he calls them. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion. They were dispersed. They were ran out of everything they knew because of Jesus. And this writer tells them, you ought to go gladly to where he went. You ought to be willingly to be able to receive the reproach for him. He says, because here we have no continuing city. This city, Jerusalem, that you're no longer allowed to be in, this is what he's writing about in context, is not a continuing city. It says, but we seek the one to come. Guys, it's not always easy in this life. Things don't always go the way. You don't always get what you think you ought to get. And American Christianity has been corrupted. It has been weakened. It has been defiled because we don't know what it's like to live with nothing but Jesus and a hope of heaven. When we don't have a home, when we don't have clothes, when we don't have food, when we don't have any of the little necessities, we would not know what to do with ourselves. And spoiled, superly blessed beyond our ability to comprehend America. But guys, listen, there's people in America today that go hungry. There's people in America today that are homeless. There's people that have a lot of things that they forget others don't have. But guys, no matter what we have here today, there's something I want to remind us about this morning. It's all going to pass away. It's not continuing. And guys, listen, what matters most is Jesus. At the end of this life, you're not going to be wondering about how much money's in your bank account. You're not going to be counting how many cows is in your herd or how many trophies are on your wall or how many nice outfits is in your closet. What you're going to be thinking about is God and where I'm going. So why do we spend all of our money, all of our effort, give all of our life in our small portion of time here, investing it all for the passing things of the material when we are supposed to be investing it in the things of the eternal? Because we forget that all these things that we are so consumed with, that is what most of us think for. We pray for health. We pray for finances. We pray for God to bless us, God to fix us, God to keep life comfortable. No troubles in our Christian walk. And there's nothing wrong with that. But don't ever get to the point that's what you expect. Because that's not the promise. The only promise is heaven and that God will never leave us. That's what kept the apostles going. That's what kept the older church going. And that's what keeps a true Christian going. I want you to think about this with me. We are to be seeking the kingdom first. Did you remember what Jesus said? And you can be turning with me right quick because this is where we're going to preach out of. It's going to be out of Matthew chapter 6. You see, Jesus talked about the kingdom. That's why he came, to prepare us for the kingdom, to show us the kingdom, to make a way for us into this kingdom. And he spent all his time teaching about the kingdom, but we get caught up in the miracles and all the things he did to prove he was who he was. He's the door. He's the one who gets us into the kingdom. Guys, I want you to think about this. Jesus said out of all the things we should be seeking, the first thing next to him, he says in verse 33 of chapter 6, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Guys, that's what we should be doing with our life. Seek first the kingdom of God. You see, because everything else is passing. We don't have a continuing city here. You don't have a continuing home. Everything is going to pass away. I want you to think about this. It's not lasting. It's not going to be here when we leave. You got to leave it all behind. So if you spend your whole life investing in the treasures of now, earthly treasures, and you never spend any of your life investing in the heavenly treasures, and you die, you know what Jesus said about that? He said there was a man who was well blessed. And he said, so I'm so blessed that I'm not even able to fit it into my barns. So he said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down all my barns and I'm going to build me bigger barns. And I'm going to fill it with all my crops and all my goods and all my possessions. And then I'm going to sit back and I'm going to say, soul, eat, drink, and be merry. For look how blessed you are. And Jesus said, but you fool, what are you going to do with those things? Because today it is required of you for your soul. And you know what Jesus said about that man? Let me read it to you before we get into where I want to preach. Jesus said to that man, but God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will these things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. That passage cannot get out of my mind. For here we have no continuing city, but we must seek the one to come. We have no lasting city, but we must seek the one to come. We don't have an enduring city here, so we must seek the one to come. But if we're honest and we're not really careful, we have spent our whole life like this man. When we ought to be laying treasures up in heaven, we're filling barns here on earth. And I want to ask you, compared to what God has blessed you with thus far, how much have you given to God compared to how much you have kept for self? It's kind of like this story I heard. I don't know. I don't think it's true, but it's foolish, but it tells a good story and it's funny and it makes a point. So miser, he was dying. He was bedridden. And he was rich. And he was laying there. And as they come to tell him, your days are numbered. You're fixing to die. He told his old wife, honey, I want you to get all my money, all my gold. Go upstairs and put it right over my bed in the attic. And when my soul departs on my way to heaven, I'm going to grab it all. And I'm going to take it with me. Well, that old lady, she was faithful. She said, well, I'm going to do what he says. She put all his money up there. And sure enough, he died. And as soon as everybody said he's dead, she couldn't wait. She ran upstairs and all that money was still there. She said, I was afraid of that. I knew he should have put it in the basement. We laugh at that, but any fool knows you can't take your money with you. There's the old saying, you ever seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul? You know, at the end of life, it's not how much you get, but it's how much you give away that makes eternity worth a place going to. Because everything you get and you keep, you're going to lose. But everything that God gives you and you have a generous heart and you care about your fellow man and you love God and you give back to God and you give and give and give, God gives back. Have you figured out yet you can't outgive God? That it's more blessed to give than to receive. But the more you suck up and focus on receiving, 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 the more empty your soul will get. But the more you give away and the more you pour out as a drink offering to the Lord Jesus Christ and you just empty your life to him, the more he puts in. And when you think you're almost empty, he fills you up with something you didn't even know was available. Amen? You see, as long as you hang on to what you got, that's all you're going to have. But if you'll give it away to him, what's that called, giving it away? It's called laying up treasures in heaven. You see, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. If you seek first the kingdom of God, you don't have to worry about what you're going to eat. You don't have to worry about what you're going to wear. You don't have to worry about tomorrow because you understand tomorrow is going to take care of itself. And you don't have to fear death. Paul said that he who lives for Christ, to die is gain. It's an upgrade. And guys, my question this morning is, where is our treasure? What's waiting for you on the other side? That you've sent ahead by faith and believing and trusting God because you're laying up treasures in heaven. Look at what he says. Look at verse 19 of chapter 6. Jesus says, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And guys, I know what some of us are thinking. If you just knew how much I had, you'd understand why I can't give so much away. Well, when you get to heaven, you're going to say, I sure wish I'd have gave more away. But on this other side of that, someone said, but I don't really have that much to give. Jesus, one day in an offering, witnessed a little lady in a worship service who he called a poor widow. Rich religious men dropped silver and gold in the pot in front of everybody. Clang! Let it make a lot of racket. Look what he gave. Woo-hoo-hoo! We hope he joins the church. Make him a deacon. Little poor widow woman ain't had nothing. Half a penny. Ka-tink! You couldn't even hear it hit the pot. They're like looking. Jesus said, she gave more than all of them put together. Are you crazy? Did you hear what that man put in there? He's the richest businessman in Bethany. He might be the richest man in Bethany, but he's the poorest man in heaven, I'm here to tell you. See that little lady right there? She gave more to my kingdom than all of them. See, it ain't how much you get, it's how much you give. And it's not even in a portion of what you give, it's why you give it. Friends, to store up things in heaven, you got to give things to God. You got to seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and you got to serve him. No church should be broke that is doing the work of God. If the gospel's being preached, if people's lives are being touched and you see fruit and people being saved, if that church is struggling, it's because somebody ain't laying up treasures in heaven. Can I get an amen? And we ought to all be investing in the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is where we're all going. None of this will be here one day. I hate to tell some of you, it's going to be gone. It's going to be pfft. And you know what? When we leave here, let them do what they want with it. They can make it a ballroom for all I care. After the rapture, the only thing that matters while we're here is us, the church, the people of God. Once we're all gone, if the rapture was to occur, what do you think they're going to do with all our money in the bank? May I tell you, they're not going to use it for the kingdom of God. You see, not only individually should we invest in the kingdom, but together we should invest in the kingdom. So how do you do that? You invest in eternal things instead of secular things. You invest in the things that matter to God, which is always people. How do you serve the kingdom? Well, first of all, to seek the kingdom, the first thing you do is serve it. You serve. He's the king. He's got a kingdom. So we serve him with our life. You use your life to do the things he's asking you to do. He asked some of us to teach. He asked some of us to preach and be shepherds and lead the flock. He asked some of us to take positions in the body of Christ, to be servants. That's what deacons are. They're the super servants of the church. They are the above everybody else. They are here to serve God's people. The pastors are here to shepherd God's people and to lead them, to feed them from the Word of God, to pray and seek God, to hear from God, and to help the people. But everybody else has a job to do in the kingdom, and you are to serve the kingdom. And God will not forget those things you do for him. But the church is always hunting servants. The church is always in need of help. Thank God for those who are investing in the kingdom. But guys, listen. It comes down to this too. You don't only seek God, you don't only lay up treasures in heaven by serving him, but you seek God by helping to support the kingdom of God. How do you do that? With money. See, God gives us every day increase. I'm here to tell you, if you're willing to work, he's willing to help you get a buy. Amen. And friends, we got a lot of people who don't want to work no more. But guys, the people who are willing to work, God always will bless you. And he gives you increase for your effort. Now, if you look around here, we're all here. You can look like God's been blessing us pretty good. Everyone seems to be dressed pretty good. Shelby's running low. He's only got half a britches, but I'm playing with you, Brother Shelby. He's like, that preacher, I'm going to get him back for that. I couldn't help it. But we all, probably this morning, we had to choose what to wear. We had a choice. We had a closet full of raiment. That's a biblical word for clothing. We all live under a roof. Did anybody wake up in a tent this morning? And I wouldn't want to hurt anybody's feelings because a lot of people today are homeless. But most of us have a place to lay our head. We had a roof over our head. We got not one vehicle. We think we got to have two. We think we got to have not one television, but one in every room. We are so blessed. But guys, listen. We spend all that money buying these treasures, filling up these barns, you might say. America is so filled up that we even go rent barns. Do you know that there's people making livings with these rent-us buildings? Because we are so greedy with our junk, we won't give it away. So we go rent a place to store stuff that we never use. People die or they go missing and they make TV shows out of it. They auction them off. Surprise, what you think's up in that one? And then people go and make more money off of their junk. Guys, listen, all kidding aside, we should not be so accustomed to all the things that we think we have to have, because this is what Jesus said. Jesus said this, and I'm about to get finished. He said, beware of greed of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. See, what all we have, beware of that. And guys, I want you to think about this with me for a minute. In the end, our life will not be judged by how much we possess, but how much we have given away. I want you to think about this. Winston Churchill said, we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. You make a living by what you get, but you make a life. Ben Carson, does everyone know who Ben Carson is? He said, happiness doesn't result from what we get, but from what we give away. You ever notice the people with the most stuff ain't the most happy? Some of the people with the least stuff seem the most happy. But guys, listen, we think, I don't have nothing to give. Friends, if God's blessed you to have a house, to have clothes, to have food, we all got food, I can tell that, or had food, he's blessed you enough to lay treasures in heaven. It's a choice. You say, well, how do you do? What's it called? Tithing? Tithing? You say, well, my tithe wouldn't matter. Oh, yeah, it would. Minds went blank, where they did a thing where they evaluated our area. What was it? Survey. It was called something else, but I'll think of it at the end of the sermon. But anyway, I had it done, and in a 10-mile radius of our church, the median household income is $47,817. That's what, if you take everybody within a 10-mile radius of this church, that's the median household income. That's everybody in that household that's bringing in income who's claiming taxes. So $47,817. That would mean the annual tithe for that household would be $4,781. $4,781. That's God's. God said, that's mine. You can have the rest. The 90% is for you to survive on, to be blessed with. But that's for my kingdom. That's mine. And every time you give that to God, you're laying treasures up in heaven. You say, golly, I don't make that much. Mine won't really matter. Do you know that if you give that to God for a lifetime, let's say you started making that at 25 and you retired at 65, which you never retire from serving God, so you'd still be giving. But let's just say you gave that for 40 years. Do you know how much money you would have given to the kingdom of God? Just by giving him 10%. $191,168. You say, darn, that'll buy a house. It will. You can't take it with you. That would buy a bass boat and two nice vehicles. But you can't take it with you. Boy, we could go on a vacation. It'd be over with before you and I. There's a lot of things that stuff can buy. But can you imagine what it must have waiting for you in heaven? $191,000. That's just what an average person here makes. And we could give that to God. You see, the question I want to ask you is, are we laying up treasure in heaven or are we just filling up barns? Because you will answer to God with what you do. And guys, we have no continuing city here. Everything's passing. We seek the one to come. And can you imagine the rewards and the glory that it gets? Because listen, when we give that to God, He uses it for His purpose. And you know what happens? The kingdom goes forth. It grows. It gets glory to God. Laying up treasures. Jesus said this. He says in that passage, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." You know what else He says? "No one can serve two masters. For you'll either hate one and love the other, or you'll be loyal to one and despise the other." You know what we do when we're more loyal to filling barns than laying up treasure in heaven? We despise our Lord. You can say what you want about it, but that's what you do. And you know, as the pastor, you're always hearing, "We got a business meeting tonight. Oh, we're this much behind. We're that much ahead." I ain't worrying about money. Money, I quit worrying about money a long, long time ago. Not that I don't like money. But you know, money is a good measuring thing of where we are. And if we seek the kingdom. You know this right here? Somebody gave me this before church. He told me on the way out of church the other day. He said, "I got this thing I put all my change in, preacher. And I've been giving what I can, but I want to give this. Would they be okay? Will they count it?" I said, "If you bring it, we'll count it." Amen? It'll spend. Brought this today. And then they told me, "Now I'm going to give something in the offering, but I wanted to give y'all this." That's a treasure. That's worth more in heaven than all the money y'all have in your banking account here on earth put together. You believe that? And you don't believe the Bible. You see, it don't do you any good here. It only does you good when you put it there. Now, how do you put it there? You got to send it ahead. There was this old man named Mr. Norman Rutledge, and he taught me this by accident. He would work on our old raggedy church lawnmower. That old church lawnmower, if it wasn't for Norman Rutledge, we'd have thrown it in the junk pile years ago. And we'd tear it up because church people don't take care of stuff. They just drive it like they stole it. And they'd tear it up, and I'd bring it back up there, and he'd fix it. And I'd go back up there, and I'd say, "What we owe you?" "Oh, well, just pay me this for that part." And he'd call me, "That part's going to be expensive, preacher. It's going to cost me." And he'd tell me how much. And I'd say, "Well, whatever it costs, fix it." Go back up there, he'd give me the bill on what he paid for it, and he wouldn't take nothing else. He said, "That's the church's lawnmower. I can't charge y'all for that." I said, "Why can't you charge us? We got to get it paid somewhere. We want to pay you." He says, "No." He said, "I'm sending it on ahead because I can't take it with me. And I'm doing this for the Lord and for y'all in the church." Guys, listen, that is a wonderful truth. What do you have invested in the kingdom? What have you laid up? Because I'm here to tell you, one day when we stand there, can you imagine what it's going to be like once we get over, we made it. And then we see Jesus. Oh, you know, I can only imagine. I don't think we're going to be grinning like we think. It's going to be unbelievably awesome. But when we all finally get settled down, we're going to talk about this tonight. We're going to be rewarded. It's going to be remembered. And it's going to be shared throughout all of eternity, what every believer did for God. And we're going to look at that tonight. And guys, I want you to think about that. Can you imagine at the judgment seat of Christ when He says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant, and all the things you did for Jesus that don't burn up like hay, straw, and stubble, but that are precious to Him because you did it for Jesus." Friends, I'm here to tell you, do what you want, but I say it's worth laying up treasures in heaven. Amen. And I want to encourage you to do that because it'll bless you. And can you imagine when we leave this place what it'll be like to know that we invested in the kingdom of God? Would you stand with me? Father in heaven, I preached what you put on my heart. It's a crazy sermon. That's why I didn't have many notes. I just said, "Lord, you'll lead me." I don't know who I'm speaking to, but Lord, I know I need to invest more in your kingdom and less in storing stuff up in barns. Lord, I thank you for my home. But I thank you that, Lord, it's not where I'm going to live forever. And I thank you that we're passing away from this place called earth, that this world is not where we're going to live for eternity. That you've prepared a place in heaven, a city that we're all going to go to one day. Lord, tonight we're going to look at that. We're going to think about it for a while, what it's going to be like to be in heaven, to stand before our Savior, our Lord, our King, and bow the knee to him in person and hear him say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Lord, that's the desire of everybody who saves heart. Help us, Lord, to be people who lay up treasures in the kingdom where it cannot be stolen, where it cannot be lost. Lord, I thank you for a missionary named Jim Elliot who said this great truth. He is no fool who gives away what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. Lord, we thank you that what we give to you, we'll never lose. But what we keep to ourselves, we don't even have it, for it's not even really ours. Help us today to have that heart, to not be fools, but to give away what we can't keep anyway, to gain that which we can never lose because of Jesus. Help us to be people who invest and believe in a kingdom called heaven. Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you need to come, come today. Maybe you want to come to the altar. Maybe God showed you something. I don't know. But whatever God has spoke, I would ask you to lay it in the kingdom.
I hear the Savior say, "Thy strength in need is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all." And Jesus paid it all.
Y'all say, "I never preach two alike. I'll never preach this sermon again." You know why? I could never do it again. If I tried 100 times, it would never come out. You can believe that if you want. But I know God had that verse in my heart all week. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Where is all your treasure this morning? I hope it's not here, because you're going to lose it all. But everything that we put in that kingdom, we'll have. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. Appreciate you being here.